Welcome to the Fabric Podcast. These messages are intended to spark your own reflections and conversations all week and beyond. That's why you can find it anytime along with other resources and ways to keep the conversation going at fabricmpls.com/scraps.
Good morning. Yeah, great to see you all here today. Welcome to Minnehaha Falls, and thanks to our city leaders over a century ago deciding that beautiful spots like this should belong to all of us, not just to a few, and for doing such a great job developing the park. And thanks, Richard and Claudia, for helping us out, you sound engineers that are with the park board. Anyway, I'm Greg Meyer, and I want to talk to you all about something that you think about a lot, just like I do, and probably haven't figured out yet. I want to talk about stuff that really matters. Yeah, I know, that's vague, right? But I think we all know what I mean when we say stuff like that. We're going to be wondering about this stuff that matters all 3 weeks that we're here at the Falls, so, you know, come back, be part of that with us. And we're calling this Why It Matters. Now, it's that word it in there that is so vague, right? So what is it? Well, it is that stuff that deep down we know we should be giving more space to in our lives, but we don't. It is that stuff that we admire in others and sense is missing in ourselves. It is that stuff that we would like to do, but keep putting off because it's too hard. It's just too much work. You know, I have a feeling, and I'm pretty sure it isn't just me. I think you've had the same conversation with yourself sometime in your life, probably really recently. And that is that there are some ways of living that you aspire to, but you don't actually reach for. And it bugs you because you know it is stuff that matters. Now, here's why you do that. And I know this, not because I know you so well, but I know me. And this doesn't take an advanced degree to figure this out, okay? I mean, this is just common sense. You see, every part of our life that matters, and there are a lot of them, everyone has an easier, cheaper, convenient, more simplistic substitute. That is the road most traveled. It's the path of least resistance. And as long as that other path is there, it's kind of hard not to take it. Anyway, here's what matters. Here's why you wouldn't take those other paths. Here's what matters. Life matters. Connection matters. Love matters. Growing matters. Generosity matters. That is not an exhaustive list, and you could have your own, but I think it's kind of hard to not say that those things truly matter in life. And then there are those easier substitutes. There's success. There's independence and certainty and comfort and security. Now, don't get me wrong. Those substitutes are not bad. They're just not the first order things. They're not the primary things. They're not the things that when you get to the end of your life and you look back, you say, boy, I'm sure glad I built my life on those things. No, we say that about that first list, not about the second list. And why do you suppose life, connection, love, growing, generosity, why do you suppose those are the things that matter? Well, the answer to that is simple, actually. And it's because they are how the universe works. You see, no one made up that list. They're simply built right into the fabric of existence. That's why we know them. And while maybe we don't consciously think about them all the time, like our insides know that those things are the things. There are some things like, you know, you don't get to pick. They simply are. And you can say it's not so important. You're going to say, I'm going to live by some other alternate important things in my life, and you've done it, I've done it, we've all done it, we've got our experience with it, and we all know how it works. Like, it can work really great for a little while, and we find out sooner or later that there's something missing, there's something empty about that, and we know that there's something else we should be living for. Yeah, you can try to live unaligned with those important things in life, but that doesn't mean that they aren't the way that makes life work. It's like gravity. I mean, you can say you don't believe in it, but that doesn't keep it from applying itself to you. It doesn't matter whether you understand gravity or that you're even conscious that it is working. The fact is that apples fell from trees long before Isaac Newton ever came up with G equals 9.8 meters per second squared. Okay? Yeah, Well, you're thinking, though, that, well, that's physics, you know, and that's completely different. What about life? And I'm going to say, you know, those two things are not all that different, actually. I mean, take these oaks that create this fantastic canopy above us, for example. It's the universe that created them. Lean back in your seat and just look up. Squint your eyes a little bit to kind of get the feel for them. There they are, reaching up for the sky. Magnificent, beautiful. They aren't obeying the rules. They aren't obeying the laws of nature. They're simply aligned with, they are exploiting, they're teamed up with the way the universe works. And by doing it, they're creating something so profound and intricate that we don't understand most of it. We're just in awe of it. These oaks, they are pictures of life that matters. Now the substitutes, they're kind of like this. Yeah, Wobbly Man. Wow, I mean, you've seen this before, right? Yeah, Wobbly Man, yeah, attracts your attention for sure. I mean, you can drive down a tree-lined street and not even notice the trees, but it's hard to miss Wobbly Man in front of the mobile home store. I mean, gets your attention, showy. But, you know, like Amy Klobuchar would say, all foam and no beer. Yeah. Anyway, so here, I want you to try something with me, okay? You've been out of your comfort zones a couple of times already today, so I want you to do this with me. Everybody stand up. Stand up, okay? And I want you to be these oak trees, all right? Kind of like Melissa was leading us in the welcome not too long ago, all right? Imagine yourself. So first of all, your feet pressed into the ground. You can feel the earth supporting you, but also your feet finding their way down into the earth, pressing down your body so that you are present with it. And then feel the ground holding you through your legs and your torso. Tighten your core and feel the strength that is within you. And reach up with your arms, your branches, stretch them out towards the sky and spread your fingers. And feel how you are pressing into the earth and being held up by it at the same time. And you're strong and reaching out into the world and touching things. This is that feeling of belonging, being a part of all things, of connected. It is like when you're holding your newborn child. It's like when you've done that favor for a friend that you really didn't have to, and you did it so fully and so completely that there was no way they could ever truly thank you, and it really didn't matter because it was the doing it that was your thanks, not in any words that would be spoken to you. It's having had that conversation with that person that you just dreaded because you were afraid it was going to erupt in conflict, but after you talked, you found out that you weren't that far apart and that there was some peace and their relationship is repairing again. Yeah. Okay, but now it's time for the Wobbly Man. Everybody, flail those arms around, shake around, lean from side to side. Yeah, this is zipping through traffic, fast as you should go, cutting off other people, all to get home 45 seconds later than you would have otherwise, all stressed. This is holding on to that anger instead of having that conversation that I was talking about just a second ago. And I don't want to get personal, but this is also watching like one too many episodes on Netflix and eating one too many cookies. Yeah, okay. Yeah, good job. All right, yeah, you can sit down. Don't worry, I'm not going to make you do any other really crazy things other than, you know, we have to do the one-legged rooster dance after a little while, but no, just kidding, not really. All right, okay, so here, I want to share four things with you that these oaks have that Wobbly Man doesn't, right? Four things. And the first of them, start at the bottom, is the roots, okay? Now, when you turn off the fan, Wobbly Man just collapses. I mean, if he doesn't have that support right now, he's done. But these oaks, no sun at night, no rain for a week, and these oaks are just fine. It's because they reach down deep and broadly into the earth to be what they are and to do what they need to do. Now, it's harder to reach down to the world and create this network of interconnectedness like the oak trees do, driving tiny rhizomes through dense earth and wedging rocks apart, creating soil. That's a lot harder to do than to just sprawl out on the grass, but that is precisely what makes these oaks live for 200 years and more. And you know what else? These oak trees send a taproot down first for stability and to find a reliable source of water. And then they send lateral roots out, typically no more than about 2 feet below the surface of the ground, but they spread 4 to 7 times the width of the crown. I mean, can you imagine that? That means these trees that are around us here are reaching like all the way out to the falls, or they're all the way out to Sea Salt, the restaurant over there. And what happens, as you can imagine, these trees, because their roots are so big, are so stretching so far, they're overlapping each other. And you know what happens when they overlap? Well, they run into each other and they graft into each other so that they're able to share resources. These same root systems providing health and strength and resilience for each other. You get it? These trees around us here, they are not competing. They are cooperating. And that's how the universe works. We could take a lesson from that. Wobbly man? Not so much. But he is kind of cute in a silly, floppy sort of way. Yeah, all right. But anyway, so the contrast between wobbly man and these oak trees and the roots brings this question to us. It's a question that the universe has an answer for already for us, but it's asking us what we're doing with it. And that question is, what are you rooted in? What are you rooted in? I hope it's stuff that matters. Okay, above the roots, what do you get to? You get to the trunk of the tree, right? These trees have a trunk, and this is the strength of the tree. Got a tree hugger out there, right? All right, good, fantastic. All right, go hug one of those trees. See how well you can do, right? Yeah, you can't even get your hands halfway around it. I mean, and these are young trees yet, but they're enormous, aren't you? I mean, these trunks of these oak trees are enormous. They weigh many tons each, and they didn't do this overnight. They built it up over the years, ring upon ring, each ring reflecting seasons of slow, hard-fought growth and of rapid, exuberant growth. And the trunk, it's also a highway connecting the roots and the leaves. It isn't just like a pillar there of strength to support branches and leaves and stuff. No, it's a highway. And what it's doing is that it is allowing the roots in what they're exchanging with the soil to be able to get supplied up to the leaves. And then what the leaves are doing by exchanging stuff with the air to be able to send that back down to the roots. And interestingly, while the trunk of the tree isn't, you know, kind of typically the first thing that comes to our mind when we think about trees, it is the strongest. It's the most solid part of the tree. It's got to be there. And it's hardly hidden. You know what that sounds like to me? It sounds like character. Character is made of the stuff that matters. It's our strength. It's often not showy, being made up of things like humility, integrity, honesty, self-awareness, and self-control. Maybe not showy, but strong things, the stuff that makes us endure, the stuff that makes us last. See, when I build character like that, what it does is it takes what I'm rooted in, and it passes it on to my expression of myself so that who I am and what I do in the world matters. Wobbly man? Support anything? I doubt it. Full of air, not substance. Here's a question that I think the trunk asks of us, and the universe has an answer for already. And that is, in what do you derive your strength? Where does your strength come from? Okay, roots, trunk, what's next? Branches, right. Now, wobbly man has two arms that are flailing. I would not call those reaching. No. The oaks look up at them. Their branches are mimicking the roots. They're doing above ground what the roots are doing below ground, extending the tree's reach. And as they do it, they continue the work of the trunk. They're that highway of life on out to the rest of the world. But in the branches, it's clear that what they're doing isn't about me. They do reach out so the tree can get more of what it needs, CO2 and sunlight, but they also do it so that they can spread their seeds out further, and so that they can provide habitat for insects and birds and animals. And as the branches of the tree stretch forth, the branches divide and become more delicate, more vulnerable to breaking so that they can reach where they must go. You too, and I too, must abandon the security of isolation, of just being that strong, solid person on my own. We need to abandon that and reach out beyond ourselves to the world around us in ways that often feel risky and vulnerable. And that's because constant expansion and change, asking us to go where we haven't gone before, that is not an option. It's the way of the universe. So the branches reflect this question that the universe has for us. How do you reach out to the world? It's the way the world works, is to do that. Okay. Well, that leaves the leaves, right? Yeah. Okay. Thanks to the storm this morning, I've got a great example right here of this. So look at these leaves. I mean, they're delicate and they're transient. They're here for a short period of time and they're gone. They're also beautiful, complex, and innumerable. I mean, just the leaves on this branch. I mean, can't even count them all. But just imagine, just the oak trees right around us right now. Got to be hundreds of thousands of leaves just on these. And these seemingly throwaway add-ons to trees are anything but simple. I mean, the tech world marvels at the possibility of not only creating solar panels, but putting the technology into shingles so that someday you could cover your house with these, you know, with them to create energy. While at the same time, plants have perfected making these tiny green solar panels by the trillion out of little more than water and carbon dioxide, and doing it in a way that they're completely compostable when they're done being used. And they figured this out about 360 million years ago. And I might add, they did it without a Silicon Valley IPO to get them going. Yeah. Okay, you know, and another thing about these leaves, in producing their energy, they don't just take like a solar panel does, they give at the same time. They give beauty, they give shelter, they give shade, they give compost, they give oxygen. Oxygen, right, yeah, you know that stuff that you breathe in order to keep alive? Yeah, the leaves provide that for you and me. Now, it's easy to use our fingers, kind of, you know, the leaf component to our hands, right? It's easy to use our fingers to get, turning ourselves into consumers, grabbing what we want. But the universe doesn't work that way. The universe creates two-way streets, not one-way highways. Getting and giving in a way that is so inextricably connected that they cannot be separated. Another thing that we could stand to learn from. Wobbly man, no leaves, no fruit, no flowers, just wobbles. So here's the question that the roots have for you. How are getting and giving part of your life? Now, it's kind of interesting that Jeremiah, this prophet from about 2,800 years ago, he went on a rant about all the idols that people are making. It's recorded for chapters in the book of Jeremiah in the Old Testament of the Bible. And now, you gotta hear this right? We miss this point all the time. We think he's just saying people aren't allowed to carve idols out of wood or cast them out of silver or gold and then to worship them. And we don't do that, of course. I mean, like, duh. So that has nothing to do with us, right? Wrong. I mean, see, Jeremiah's objection had nothing to do with what you are allowed to do, but about the ridiculousness of people who thought that this could work, that they could decide how they wanted the universe to work. And then they could either have a chunk of wood or a hunk of metal and put it in charge of it as if that was actually going to do it. I'm sorry, he's saying the universe doesn't work like that. I mean, we got these great lines from him. So you go out to the forest, Jeremiah writes, you cut down a tree, you carve a chunk of wood into a figure and pretend it can control the world. Really? It can't walk, it can't talk, it can't think or breathe. Seriously? Now, folks, Jeremiah wasn't talking just to people 3 millennia ago, right? He was talking to us. He's talking to us about our tendency to look at all of this rootedness, this strength that comes from character, this reaching beyond what is known and safe and comfortable, and this open-handed, open-hearted giving and receiving. He's talking to your and my tendency to look at all that and say, it's too hard. I don't think I can do it. I don't think I even want to try. Lean back. Look up at those oaks again. Too hard. Really? Too hard to stop and listen to the person I don't understand instead of making assumptions like I always have in the past? Too hard to speak up when someone makes that racist remark? Too hard to tell the truth when something less than the truth will take pressure off right now? Too hard to figure out that recycling thing or how to drive less or how to reduce my footprint on the environment? Too hard to teach someone else when I know I can do it better and faster myself? Too hard to ask for and accept the help I know I need? Too hard to speak up at work about more sustainable processes or more respectful practices or more inclusive policies? Is it too hard to work on the tension-filled parts of my relationship so that it can get better instead of continuing to erode like it has been? Really too hard? Look up at those oaks again. Go ahead. Tell them that what they're doing naturally is too hard. Because they're telling you right back, no, this is the way the universe works. Just be part of it. It's what matters. Too hard, really? In what time frame? I mean, like, from your perspective right at this moment, but what about by the end of the day or over the month or over the year or a decade or a generation? What was really too hard? Or from whose perspective? I mean, from your own self-interested perspective, or what about the people around you that are affected by what seems to be too hard for you to do? What about your kids whose lives are changed by what you choose to do or not to do, and maybe see you model what's too hard and what's not too hard? What about the community? What about all the people that live on this earth and share it with you? You want to know what's too hard? Trying to build a life out of Wobbly Man there. Folks, what really matters, really matters. You've always known it. I'm just saying it out loud where it's harder to hide from, okay? And it's not about always getting things right. You are not expected to bat 1,000 in life. This isn't about being a good person or a bad person. It doesn't change your worthiness for love and acceptance. But what it will change is the outcome of your life and the people around you. And that's why it matters. So, that may make you ask, well, then what happens when I can't live up to all that sort of stuff? And I'm going to say that's what we're going to talk about next week. We'll see you then.
Thanks for listening. We hope you take this conversation and keep it going. If we are adding value to your life, we appreciate your support of this work so we can engage more people in these conversations that matter for their real lives too. You can do that at fabricmpls.com/give. We'd also love to have you join us any Sunday morning at 10:30 at Field Community School in Minneapolis. That's at 4645 4th Avenue South. There are opportunities for kids of all ages to connect too. Learn more by searching Fabric Minneapolis.